Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 228, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist! Yeah! It's a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Friday, March 18th, 2022. National Irish
hangover
people are
day.
Probably hungover right now.
Day. Yeah, it's actual National Sloppy Joe Day and National Awkward Moments Day. So celebrate that. I think you could do that, eating a Sloppy Joe on a date.
Are you old enough that when you hear Sloppy Joe, it immediately goes to that
Sloppy
SNL sketch?
Sloppy Joe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. I'm fucking 90s brained. Yeah.
All right. Well,
question. Did you grow up eating Sloppy Joes?
Yeah.
Was that everything that your family was serving?
Sloppy Joe night? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because I remember, again, immigrant household, black dad who was, you know, probably like at work or something, asking my mom for Sloppy Joes. She was like, what is this? Like, I remember being a kid and like asking her for it as if she was supposed to know what the fuck I was talking about. I'm like, yo, I want Sloppy Joes. She's like, I don't know what the fuck that is.
I don't know what the words are, what sounds and I had to just go, came out of your face.
Yeah. I had to go to school, ask my white friends. I said, okay, how do you do it? And they said, I don't know. My mom gets the packet at the grocery store. So then I said, we got to get the packet at the grocery store. And the second my mom just sort of saw it, she's like, I can't do this for you.
Always shocked by how sweet it is whenever I have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like sugar it's meat.
Like, yeah, there you go. Perfect, perfect new name for it. Hey, get your sugar meat.
Get your sugar meat sandwich. That's got to be a wholly American creation, right? Like, that didn't come with anybody from another land, I feel like. Sloppy Joe, a.k.a. Sugar Meat.
Well, the name is already fucked up, dude. It's like Sloppy Joe.
Yeah. You know what? I bet it comes from, like, wars, that like one of the world wars, because that's where the coffee got the name Joe, was because Americans drink coffee and British people drink tea. And so they would call coffee Joe because I bet Sloppy Joe was just something to do with the fact that Americans are disgusting. Mm. American soldiers were just a fucking wreck.
It's from us, though. Yep. coming out of mid-20th century cookbooks.
Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Sugar Meat, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, everyone's third favorite side dish. Shout out to Munko 50. Send me the recipe. I think a lot of people during St. Patrick's Day discover my past career as a potato recipe. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Anyways.
A bag of frozen Orida potatoes, O'Brien.
Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. face down, ass up. That's the way we like to munch our apples. We eat them from the bottom. I just came up with that because of we've been talking about eating apples from the bottom. Our guest, we'll explain it to you, guest. I see you giving me faces in the Zoom. But someone was talking about eating apples from the bottom. I still cannot wrap my head around it. It's still just so fantastic and odd to me. But one last thing before we move on, I just want to say, looking up Sloppy Joe, one name they used to call it was Toasted Deviled Hamburgers.
Toasted Deviled Hamburgers. That actually makes a lot of sense to me.
What? A deviled hamburger?
Yeah, because like deviled eggs are, you just like whip that shit up and make it a little sweeter.
Okay.
And softer. So a deviled hamburger. Yeah, it's just softer, chopped up sweet meats.
There we go. Sugar meat.
There it is. We're still, like, we've spent a lot of time talking about this idea that you eat the apple from the bottom up. They said it as though, like, the normal way to eat the apple is from the top down. Like, you just.
Right.
It's like, what the fuck?
It's like a lathe, you know? Yeah. You go from the outside and then you hollow it, you take it down to the core.
Yeah. But, anyways, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious and brilliant stand-up comedian, writer, actor, improviser, and biomedical engineer, in addition to being one of the funniest comics and writers anywhere doing it.
Yeah.
She performs across the country and produces and performs at Funnelingus. Please welcome the hilarious, the talented Paula Viganale!
I'm like already so disgusted. What is this? The Toasted Devils podcast?
Toasted Devils podcast.
I'm on the Wikipedia page for Sloppy Joe, and it said that in Ohio, there was an ad for it in 1944. Good things to eat, says Sloppy Joe's 10C. I don't know what that is. Originated in Cuba. Oh, yeah. I was like, 10 cc's of meat? Is that what
it Very is? Little bit. Just 10
it
cc's.
It says originated in Cuba, but I feel like in the 40s, they were just like maybe trying to blame Cuba for all of their horrors. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
well, it was fancy back then. You know what I mean? Back then, that was like this place. They're like, oh, in Cuba. Oh.
Yeah.
So I think that pre-revolution? Yeah.
Must be. Yeah.
I think growing up, I also, immigrant parents, I think I had Sloppy Joe's at like school lunch. Like, to have school lunch. But I remember even back then being like, I know this is not as good as my mom's cooking. Like, right. No way.
Yeah. No. I think it was more like the assimilation factor that was like gave me comfort. Yeah, like, I'm acting like the white kids. But then I'm like, this shit is sweet as fuck.
Even on the Wikipedia page, they call them loose meat sandwiches.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have something meat. That's like found in the pocket of a giant. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that like, sounds that's like it's some shit you find in your pocket, doesn't it?
Loose leftover. Meat I found.
I got some loose meat in my pocket.
Yeah.
And then the apple core thing, that just sounds hedonistic. Like, I don't know why you're eating an apple's ass, but like, that sounds wrong. What is that? What is that?
It's just weird. I know. I think it just because the idea, I mean, it's the same like fruit flesh that you're eating, but the idea of attacking it from that
of,
angle.
Like giving it a rim job? No, thank you.
Yeah.
But also, violent. The utility of it isn't good because you can balance the apple on the bottom of it on like a table like as you're eating.
Exactly.
And that's
thank
why
you.
I think that's why you eat from the side. It's because it's easier to hold and like balance, and
just
then
put it on its head because you ate the ass down to nothing.
But then it'll balance from the top. I just think it doesn't balance as nicely from the top.
I mean,
also nobody eats the core except for a few crunchy people who like to brag about how much of the Appalachian Trail they hiked. I feel like it's not a normal.
Listen, if you want to like 69 a banana or whatever, go for it. Like I'm not.
I do. And that's another thing we've been talking about. I do like 69 a banana, but that's
from
all right.
The tip.
Yeah.
The Unholy podcast over here.
What's new with you, Pallavi?
Oh my God. Okay. I don't know if I'm, I think I'm allowed to say this now, but I started dating this guy and it's been going amazing. And I'm like, we get along so well. I've been single for 5.5 years. Like, no one's admitted to dating me. Guys, he's getting deported back to New Zealand. You guys.
No, what?
Yes. We found out like 2 weeks ago, and it was like, we met in January, and like, we just have been getting along great. And then we found out like 2 weeks ago that he found out that through some incident that he was unaware of, he's like overstayed his visa and he has to go back to like even try to renew it. So isn't that 100% me? Because I'm the main character of this story.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Forget about him. This is happening to me.
You got a potential mate and everything was going well until, oh no, my visa.
I do have a joke about how like it's a very hot accent until he starts until you have to like keep a straight face while he's asking for heed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Heed. Oh, dude, everybody. Okay, one of your producers is saying this is a rom-com. That's, first of all, everybody's reaction is like, you need to watch that Anton Yelchin film or whatever where this happens to them. And then everybody's first reaction is to marry him. And I'm like, do you not value me? I met this man 2 months ago.
Yeah. I was
all of my girlfriends are like, marry him. And I'm like, that's a rom-com, is like all of your girlfriend's reaction.
I was going to say that. And I'm like, nah, she has her shit together way too much for that to happen. Even for me to posit it as a joke.
And he's like me. So he also has his shit together. So we're not about to marry.
Oh, he's like, no, we can't do this.
Just
give me some heat and I'll be out.
Give me, just touch my deek and I'll be gone.
Touch my deek.
Deek.
Oh, my deek.
He's gonna hate this.
He with the wild mozzie is
he's very supportive.
All right, but yeah, we've
isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. I'm sorry.
Wait, but he's not he's not like catastrophically overstaying his visa where they're like, don't even think about applying. They're like, yo, you gotta cut out.
No, he's not at the I'm learning so much about immigration law right now.
Right? It's fun, right?
So insane. He's not like over 6 months. Over 6 months is a mandatory like 1 year ban, I think.
Right.
And so he's like, it's only been like a couple months and he's like leaving and there's COVID and like other, you know, he just found out. So like, he's going to try and be like, I just didn't know, please like let me back in. But it's very like, I don't know, it's very arbitrary. Also, it makes you think about like the levels. I mean, obviously we think about this anyways, but like the levels of immigration, like it's probably more likely he'll come back in because he's not like white, but he's from New Zealand, which is not like Mexico according to like the like U.S. politics, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
People from Mexico are much more like unlikely to get in just because of how like the types of racism that go on here,
right?
And xenophobia.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the periodic table of American racism, and yeah, you're right. That does qualify.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's like, it's really fucked up that you like when you're applying and stuff, you have to think in that context of like the likelihood of you getting back in. And if you're from a place like Mexico or like South America or Central or South America, it's like way less likely for you,
right?
Which is insane. Borders are stupid, and that's what we've learned here on the Daily guys today.
Yeah, but they're gonna look real stupid when there's a climate migration.
Yeah.
Are you gonna go visit New Zealand? Have you thought about that yet?
Yeah,
oh, you know,
I don't think we're going. It's hard for us to like continue without like a timeline because like we don't know when he's coming back.
Yeah,
but I do think I'm at least going to, like, even if there's nothing else going on, I'm at least gonna. I wanted to visit. I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. Okay, like I wanted to visit since like middle school,
and
I'm not gonna not visit because he's the. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I can't like overthink it.
You're like, I was gonna go.
I'm
here
gonna
anyway.
Be in the Shire, touching this man's deek, and it's gonna be great.
Yeah, obviously.
Miles literally did a collar pull right there.
Whoa! Don't mention the Shire in deek at the same time, mate.
I'm a hobbit hoe. I can't help it.
Hobbit.
All right, Pallavi, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell
our listeners. I think you already
have. I mean, if it's possible, we're going to get to know you a little bit better. First, a couple of things we're talking about. We're talking about the U.S. already being like, so the pandemic, that was wild. Let's move on from that. No more funding. according to Congress, both sides are just like, yeah, we don't, y'all don't need any help anymore, right? Yeah. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about workers cozying up to the metaverse, possibly. We'll talk about Uncle Vanya's, which is the new straight ripoff. It's like McDowell's from Coming to America. Mm-hmm. It's a ripoff of McDonald's that Russia is opening up because people are mad that McDonald's shut down. McDonald's like kind of took its business elsewhere, and Russians are not happy. But I don't know. This is kind of fun. Like they're just seizing everything in Russia. They're gonna like open their own McDonald's, and like that would be wild if there was just a like kind of black market version of all American products in Russia. Like,
yeah, that's no. It's just this like weird conversation between like capitalism and like the Soviet Union, and just watching it like being like, ah, we got you with our McDonald's, like
suckers. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like when it's India made like Thumbs Up, which is like Coke, but their version of it. Nice. It's like
it's now called I'm, Thumbs Up.
Yeah, it's spelled wrong. There's no B in it, and it's like
okay, I like that.
And I'm like, I love it. I prefer it to Coke, and so I always.
Nice.
Yeah, is I think it had to
how
do with
similar
the,
is it?
It's a little bit different. I think I like it better, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's like pretty similar, and it had to do with Coca-Cola leaving India in like the 70s or something like that, and then they like I think they came back, and there was like weird issues. But there's like I'm sure there are like so many cases where capitalism has like and the like withdrawal of it from different countries has like led to these weird like off
forces the hand brand. Right
yeah the right. little thumbs up hand
yeah. We don't need it, we got this, we got thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about the fact that the Batman is now the highest grossing serial killer movie ever. It's gonna pass Silence of the Lambs, even inflation adjusted, over the weekend. And so I want to talk about the fact that genres are now just like different kind of coats that various superhero movies try on one at a time. And that's how like people find out about them. And I want to talk about if that's a good thing, and also which genre they need to try on next. All of that, plenty more. But first, we like to ask our guest, Pallavi, what is something from your search history?
Okay. Speaking of the COVID response, I saw this isn't fun. I'm not a fun person. Get used to me. I saw yesterday or like the last couple of days that COVID's been spiking in like Europe and Asia again. And so then I was like, I'm going to need more masks. And so I went to look at different masks. And then I was like, I heard some masks aren't actually like approved. So then I went to like the CDC's list of NIOSH ratings of masks and like the different brands. And I was like cross-referencing them, seeing where they were being sold. And I'm like, this one's not approved. And this one is. And why can't I find it in black? I was like, I was like going through like their technical like list, looking at them.
Then by the end, you're like, fuck it. I'll just get the one that's not registered because it's got the color I like.
I did end up doing the one that was like registered but looks like shit. I'm like, they know what they're doing. They put the brand on the front of the mask and they look like shit. Like it looks like you're supposed to work on a construction site with them, you know what I mean?
Right.
Rather than like be at comedy shows with your mask on. Right. But I'm like, whatever, I'll look like shit but be safe. I don't care. That's who I am.
Yeah, why not?
My favorite mask that is still approved is the Air Queen, which is
I don't
just
think
a
you're
cool
allowed to say that.
From Korea.
Air Queen?
That's a slur against the queer community.
Yeah. It's a
beautiful like a
mask.
Pillow princess, but the Air Queen.
Yeah.
It's getting me in trouble a lot, but it's a good mask.
It's a good mask. What can I say?
Yeah. There is so much to go through like that. Is the factory registered to make this type of mask? And if not, is it registered in general to make these kinds of masks? But this specific kind of mask hasn't been approved by the FDA, but it is pending like an emergency fucking whatever it is. I almost did my head in trying to buy masks like last month.
It's like a specific kind of evil for people to make like fake masks and fake hand sanitizer during a pandemic. I'm like, that that capitalism mindset, it takes like a specific sociopath to do that. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Right.
100%.
What what's something you think is overrated?
Okay. I think this is overrated, but I do it and I participate in it and I enjoy it. So Skincare, it's like, we don't know what's working. We know some things are working. And I will buy so many things and put it on my face because it feels good. Like the hydrating shit feels good. But let's not pretend this isn't, you know, us trying to have a physical means of dealing with our depression. Do you know what I mean? Like we... So many of us are just buying all these products that maybe make us break out more because all of our skin is different. But like, I'm still loading that shit onto my face. I'm still like, I got droppers and stuff. And I'm just like, I have to put this one on first and this one on after because I read it one time.
Oh my God, you put the lotion on first? Okay.
Oh, the lotion. You might as well. The lotion
on. Fucking hell.
It's wild. Yeah. I definitely, it feels good, but I'm like, this isn't like, I don't know how much this is doing to like clear the blemishes or whatever, but I'm like participating
For hyperpigmentation, are you using Faded, A313?
Oh, I use topicals Faded, and I also have like a tretinoin thing.
Okay. Yeah. Shout out Faded. Yeah. You know, that helped me with some hyperpigmentation.
As I say this, not going to guarantee that it works for anybody listening to this.
Nah.
I know this. Okay. This is somebody had like a tweet that was like, I wish I knew who it was, but they had a tweet that was like, skincare is like similar to like diet culture where like everybody's like recommending based on how you look all the products to buy and it's not necessarily guaranteed to make anybody like feel like actually have better skin or whatever. It's just like, we're trying all these different things, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But I'm still going to buy that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you got to. Got to.
I feel like it kind of exploded during the pandemic a little bit. Like, or
people
like,
were staring at themselves in Zoom and in the mirror. Yeah. I remember when face masks, like once it started getting into like the gold one, like all of the, like there were, I thought face masks were like sleeping masks until a certain point.
and then
it became like this, the synonymous with skincare. And I was like, oh, this is crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those face masks.
Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated?
Tubs. Okay. Hear me out. Huh? When I was moving, tubs? I had tubs of stuff.
Oh.
Miami Vice.
Yeah. Oh, what? I don't know.
Crockett and Tubbs. It's an old people's reference from the 1980s.
That's totally clearly what I meant. 100%. Yeah, I meant both versions of Tubbs.
Save yourself, Paula V. Let us die in Chugidom by ourselves. Go live.
I just gave in to admitting that I'm fighting aging, and you guys are like, Crockett and Tubbs.
Crockett and Tubbs.
You better remember Crockett and Tubbs.
Most people think the Waterworld stunt show at Universal actually used to be the Miami Vice stunt show before. They just changed the name.
Don't tell any of these youngsters, though. They won't listen. Mad.
Why are you guys talking normally?
Sorry, yeah.
That's actually how they sound off podcast.
Hey, thanks for coming back, Bobby.
Oh, shit. I let my regular voice slip in? All right, I'm back.
I like tubs. I like tubs of things. I was moving to my new place, I was just like, let me just load it in my tub. Now I have like a tub of my like workout equipment back there. I'm showing you guys. Oh, yeah. And like a tub of my like plant care stuff. I fucking love tubs, man. They're like
easy
plastic. They like don't break easy. You can put whatever you want in a tub.
Yeah, you can reuse it.
I'm so old. I love tubs.
Hey, you're not old enough to get that Crockett and Tubbs reference. I know, so you're right on the tub spectrum. You're like, I like moving tubs. And we're on this side being like, I miss Miami Vice.
I remember show with that name in it.
The man in the white blazer.
Yeah. What's the container store? Do you like to go into a container store?
I'm sure I would. I love Daiso. I love like the little containers at Daiso. Like I think that they have like a lot of cute shit. I bought a cute ass broom. Ugh, it was adorable. But like
shout out brooms.
But I'm not a crate and barrel or like what is it? Yeah, I'm not a big tub person because I don't have like as much space for it. So I feel I've just been using tubs that like have come into my possession from like old roommates and stuff. I haven't had a real chance to go like ham on tubs.
Get a new tub. Yeah.
You know? Sometimes, but I feel like I could.
At Lowe's or some shit, they'll be running their sales. I'll pick up some tubs.
Damn.
Because it's easy. Because like I kind of hoard some stuff, like some documents and shit. Because yeah. My dad was like audited years ago. And he's like, you got to keep all this shit, man. You never know. So I'm like, okay. And so it's nice to have like tubs that, you know, I'm like, this shit is not going to fucking fall apart because it's cardboard. I can use it. My children can use these tubs and their children will use these tubs.
And I have tubs of like Indian clothes and accessories. And I'm like, it's the Indian wedding season. Got to bust out my tub. Or, like, I have tubs of like, I like to save like sentimental things like cards and stuff from friends. And so I got my like sentimental tub, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, stackable tubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And pretty soon, you know, you just accumulate tubs and tubs and tubs. And pretty soon your, you know, living space looks like one of those container ships. That's where we're at, you know. My wife and I have been married for almost 14 years, and it's just been a process of steady tub accumulation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we got some that are not the color they were when we purchased them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And they, I don't even really know or want to know what's in them. And like, there's no conceivable future in my mind where I'm like, all right, time to dig into these tubs.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to be there until, I guess, my kids go
burden
through them.
Your children.
Yeah.
Whereas my children will use the tubs, they're going to be your children's burden.
Right.
I think about that. I thought about that when moving, because I moved out of a place that I had to take everything out. It was being passed from like roommate to roommate, but now the like landlord's family is moving in or something. And so I had to clear out decades of shit that like wasn't even mine. And yeah. I was like, and so when I moved into this place and I was like buying a small trash can for the kitchen, I'm like, I'm going to be staring at this trash can for maybe decades. So there was like so much more pressure to buy something that like was like cute, but like reasonable. You know what I mean? I was the stuff that we like surround ourselves with, sometimes like we have clothes from like 15 years ago, but we also have like items in our house that are like, we're going to have them forever, you know? And I'm like, it's like it makes purchases so much more difficult. I'm like, who am I going to even be in 20 years?
Yeah.
What garbage can do I want?
Yeah. You just open it up. Once like we've all died off and there's like a museum of culture, like in Station 11, you can... make a good, my kids will make a good living selling off our, you know, tubs full of first generation iPod chargers and shit like that.
Oh my God. I have three tubs of electronics. I still have to go through all the wires.
Yeah.
Right.
Just a rat's nest. 30
pin, a 30 pin Apple cable, kids. Now this one, this is a 4-6 prong Firewire converter.
Yeah.
What?
Why do we save the Apple phone boxes? I know I'm doing it.
Because
the
shit costs so much money.
Yeah.
That's why.
The boxes? We're like, we're going to keep.
No, a phone. Like, I do the same shit. I have my fucking, I bought a laptop like a couple months ago. I still have the box. I'm like, man, that
why
shit
are we
like
doing
a lot
this?
Of money.
Shit yeah.
Like because the boxes they come in are like nicer than the ones that I'll probably be buried in. Like they're fucking nice. Like
your coffin, you can slide out your coffin like a matchbox, like an Apple iPhone box.
Hell yeah.
we're gonna shove Jack in.
And it comes with a free sticker too.
Put me in that wall.
We gotta charge Jack up.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. And so I guess Congress basically is over the pandemic.
I don't know. It's so they passed a $1.5 trillion spending bill this week. And the thing that was notably missing was it was the proposed like $15 billion in COVID funds, you know, to fucking fight the pandemic. The White House, they were like, even publicly being like, we really want Congress to know how bad we need this money, which because they were really talking to Republicans in the Senate who were like, according to us, I don't think we need to spend money. But again, this funding is desperately needed as part of our pandemic response, which has already been so fucking inadequate that it looks like a fucking prank on people.
My friends and I were like, why the fuck have we none of us got masks from the government. Isn't that insane? Like, we haven't even, we like got like four tests if we like were living alone, right?
Right.
And then we got zero masks or anything this whole time, which is insane.
Yeah. Right. And on top of it, there's like, oh yeah, they need like stimulus or checks to stay afloat despite inflation.
Get taxed on? Like, what?
Don't worry about it. So to give you an idea of how like desperately needed like these funds are. So in this article from Ed Yong in The Atlantic, it's just talking about like what the timeline is basically for this money, because if it runs, like the effects of this money not being in the funding bill will be felt pretty much immediately. He says next week, the government will have to cut shipments of monoclonal antibody treatments by a third. In April, it will no longer be able to reimburse healthcare providers for testing, vaccinating, or treating millions of uninsured Americans who are disproportionately likely to be unvaccinated and infected.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Come June, it won't be able to support domestic testing manufacturers. It can't buy extra doses of antiviral pills or infection-preventing treatments that immunocompromised people are banking on. And we're also going to have to scale back efforts to improve vaccination rates in other countries. That's just because they fucking, because Republicans put up a fucking fight in the Senate and Democrats are like, ah, it's too much. All right, fuck it. Like, well, let's figure right now. Democrats and I, you know, I'd imagine maybe two Republicans are trying to figure out how to get this money to come through. But at the moment, the Republican strategy was just sort of saying, well, what about all that money that the states have for pandemic response? Why don't we dip into those funds? And they're like, no, no, no. Those were intentionally set aside for their own preparedness and response efforts. So
do you remember at the beginning of the pandemic when like people were like, oh, the states can provide ventilators. And then like Jared Kushner was like hoarding the federal ventilators or whatever. Like he was trying to like, it feels like that again. It's like, what? Like, how is this different? You know, if we're expected to like win elections in 2024, how are we going to do that if we're not like providing a response that's adequate? Like the change isn't that significant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's giving them out to chase clout. Like, at least we're not there where like the, you know, president's family is like, we gotta get a warehouse full of those so that we can like get some favors back and like get invited to some cool parties this weekend. But I mean, it's fucked.
It's, and also, you know, this is just a cycle of, Ed Yong points out in this article, of like pandemic, like panic and neglect, that we do this with all, every single thing in the West and especially in this country. It's like, there'll be a lot of money in the beginning. And then all too quickly, it's forgotten, neglected, and just waiting for the problem to become worse because we just figured that initial amount of investment and attention was going to do it. And like, again, most people were saying we needed to fucking beef up all of this shit. And this is against the backdrop now where COVID, like where multiple municipalities and states are dropping their mandates, whether it be for masks or vaccines. But their whole thing where they're like, don't worry, we're going to drop the mandates, but the sick part is we're going to have better treatment, better testing to be able to get into this phase of the fucking pandemic. But all that money was supposed to be fucking funded by Congress. That's supposed to be approved by Congress. So it's not even, that doesn't even feed into this like new era of like, you know, mask freedom that we're experiencing. Like all the shit that was supposed to support that is not there at the moment. So all it's going to take is another serious variant and like we'll be just thrown into absolute chaos because we're not even doing like the proper like monitoring of cases and variants that are emerging because all of the funding is slowly being dialed back.
That cycle of like everyone pays attention to the same blockbuster like news story, basically. It's like one story at a time and everybody like it starts.
This was like shark attacks.
Right. Summer. It was like shark attacks that summer. But like, is it getting worse or does it just seem that way? Like, it does feel like we are getting, like, the fact that we just went through a pandemic where one of the major stories, like, kind of coursing throughout the whole thing was like how underprepared we were and how we would have been even more fucked if, like, George W. Bush hadn't like seen a TV episode that like talked about the possibility of a pandemic or something like that.
Right.
We, you know, preparedness was awful. And like, we're right back to like, to being like, yeah, but you know, Ukraine is really what's hot right now. So we're not going to like pay much attention. We're not going to, like, that's not our, not really what's getting the butts in the seats, getting the votes.
Right.
I think like individually, like we've noticed how like people can have all the information and still make like horrific choices. And so it's like, it's not necessarily like even preparedness or understanding. It's like, it's just like getting people willing to like to take the right steps. Like I definitely feel like individually, like at the beginning of the pandemic, I was like, please don't do your comedy show. And they were like, oh, like, I was like providing them with like CDC stats and stuff. And my friends were just like, you're like really smart. Like my comedian friends were like, cause I worked in infectious diseases. So I was like explaining this shit to them. And they were like, you're really smart, but we're still going to do the show. There was like no convincing people who just like wanted to do what they wanted to do. And like systemically, politically, like as a group, Congress and whoever, like they're doing the same shit. Like you can't make people do stuff even if they have the information.
Yeah. And I think the part that makes it worse is that it's really the toll that it's taken isn't like, you know, buildings being blown up and shit and cities being fucking destroyed. It's the the damage is not very like out there. It's like you have to look for it because it's people dying in hospitals and people just grieving. And you deal with like a group of people like politicians who are already, you know, like we already know that this pandemic affects people like according to class, that you people at the top, they're experiencing the pandemic in such a different way that it's, you know, it's informing their idea of what the pandemic even is. And that's where we see it when we don't see the kind of urgency to be like, there's no fucking way we can just like take our foot off the gas with this, with the pandemic response. But there's also leaders there who truly, well, and they believe, they're like, I don't know, it was bad like 8 months ago from what I saw anecdotally. So maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah, I do. Like, I'd be interested if anybody has any articles or like, you know, thoughts, any listeners, hit me up. I'm just curious, like, about like whether the monoculture and like our ability to process like only one story at a time is getting worse, because it does feel like we just like skip from tragedy to tragedy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now let's get into the solution, folks.
Yeah.
I'm talking, of course, about the metaverse. Get pumped,
everybody.
So, you know, I have been skeptical from the start. I just like couldn't imagine a world where suddenly people were interested in using like a 2008 version of virtual reality. Like, but this, you know, there's just the will there. There's like the intention from rich people, and therefore it's not going away, to make this a thing. And
yeah,
like you're starting to see it everywhere. People, you know, at companies that we work with are like talking about the metaverse and like how this is like a thing everybody's going to be trying out and shit. And it's just like,
have your events in the metaverse, man.
Right.
It's just have so your meetings funny. In the metaverse. This reminds me of like how they kept trying to push Google Glass on us. And we were just like, No, I don't want it.
It reminds me of that, but it's
holding. Like,
yeah, we were like, NFTs. No, get the fuck out of here with Google Glass. And they were like, okay, we're sorry, I know they're ugly. And with this one, we were like, dude, are you like even stupider than Google Glass? And they just like kind of looked at us and we're just like, so the metaverse though, right?
Yeah. Like,
the metaverse.
But I don't know, I'm having some hope because like with crypto and like NFTs, like NFTs values are dropping like a crazy amount or whatever. So I'm like, maybe this won't hold, you know, like maybe it'll hold for like an annoying amount of time and then maybe it'll go away.
Well, I feel like NFTs, the model is like, if you're assuming that the way things work in the US at least is that like rich people get richer, which seems to, and like have all the power. NFTs are all
that doesn't
the...
seem like everything I've learned my whole life.
And NFTs, the rich, like they're designed to be like scams where rich people get people to invest and then the bottom falls out. So like,
I feel like
that's operating as it was intended to. Like they just didn't tell anyone that was the intention. But with metaverse, like, you know, one of the five richest people in the world, I think, has his entire fortune like tied up in this and like probably a lot of his very rich friends. And now like we're seeing, this is the first time I've seen an argument where I'm like, oh yeah, maybe people will be using the metaverse like a year from now.
What a boring thing to invest, like some dumb like VR shit. Like, why not make animals talk? You know what I mean? Like, think of something more creative.
Well, actually, you could like take you could have a animal Abby in the metaverse. And so your friends could actually have a conversation with you where you appear to be an animal. Yeah. So
Jack, you do that voice too well.
You ask talking animals, I give you the metaverse. But Miles,
I give you the whatever, like
the Jack, what do we call it again? Metaverse.
I want you to do that to your wife. This is going to result in divorce for sure. But every time you like, you're advice. Like, I give you clean dishes.
You ask, why didn't I do the dishes? I give you clean
putting
dishes.
The kids to bed.
There it is. But yeah, there's this like new poll with the metaverse, you know, evangelists. They're all pointing to that. There's like this work trends poll that's showing that people who are talking about using metaverse technology or emerging technology, technologies at work, that group is beginning to grow. So there was 52% of these respondents of employees are open to using digital immersive spaces in the metaverse for meetings or team activities in the next year. 47 are open to representing themselves as an avatar in meetings. Then they say like Gen Z and millennials are 51% and 48% respectively that can actually see that their work could somehow like do some kind of work within using the metaverse, whatever that is. Then Gen X, it's only 37%. Boomers, it's 28%. But more than like when I look at what that where that openness comes from, I don't think it's that necessarily Gen Z and millennials like, dude, I want to use the metaverse. Or like, dude, if I don't have to go in a fucking office, I'll use the fucking metaverse. If that's the binary, like, let's suit up right fucking now because I don't want to go to an office.
Instead of suiting up.
Yeah. And I think when you look at like how this all works, right, a lot of the push of the go back to the office, like energy that we're seeing through government and the media, a lot of it has to do with the fact that commercial real estate took a huge shit in the pandemic. You know what I mean? Like decimated the demand for office space as many companies, they were able to move to remote work. And that shift absolutely smashed the pockets of developers and people who own massive tracts of like commercial buildings and things like that. But it also helped the residential real estate market. So getting asses back into the offices is a huge, like, it, like, that's all part of like a strategy to help recover the commercial like office sector. And that's where I kind of like this metaverse idea, because it's almost like you're seeing this tension between this, you know, traditional tangible like world that real estate deals with. And then these people who back the metaverse are almost advocating for another version of like using space that isn't tied to the physical world and saying, eh, maybe that's where you do it.
Why would anybody want to do this over Zoom?
That's my thing is like,
Well, see, Jack, come on now.
That's the thing that I'm...
they didn't ask a follow-up question where they're like, okay, now Zoom or this other shit?
Right. That's like question two.
Yeah.
And the person who asked it just like got pulled off stage. That's 100% like what I'm curious about. I guess the reason that I brought up like NFTs and like crypto, specifically like more crypto, is that I feel like crypto is a thing where it creates the problems it's attempting to solve, where it doesn't really solve any like new problems. And I feel that way about the metaverse. I'm like, the more... I'm all about like automation and technology and innovation. Like, I think that's like really important. But I think that there are certain technologies that just like create more problems than anything that they're trying to solve. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think like with like digital currency and going into crypto and then things like this, it's like how the fuck is like, you know, like different generations and different people from different like socioeconomic backgrounds, how are they supposed to like accept this technology that seems to be like more difficult and unnecessary than like Zoom? You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like they're trying to complicate the office situation or like just like interacting with people in general. They're making it more inaccessible, you know?
Right. Yeah, you're, there's too many.
And like, they're painting it as more accessible. Like, they're like, you don't have to come in, but you have to build an avatar and wear this mask thing.
You don't have a VR headset? Fuck no. I have a felt like self-facing camera on a laptop. Does
Bro,
that work?
If I have to update my headset before a meeting.
They got me looking dumb in here with the fucking egg avatar in this meeting. Fuck.
Yeah.
Someone didn't update. But yeah, it does seem like right now we've very much found a way to be able to connect, get things done, you know, with just using video. That we can now see each other's facial expressions, that can help already take away some of the need for office space. But yeah, this idea that, well, no, now we got to take to the metaverse. Well, that's...
I don't understand, like, maybe I just don't understand the metaverse enough, and Jack in that voice can explain it to me. But like, what is it offering? Like, what is it offering that Zoom, like, can't practically solve for an office situation?
Paul, you asked for talking animals. I think you mentioned. And when I'm here on Zoom with you, I don't look like a talking animal. But were we to enter the metaverse, I could see like a sick concert, and I could be a talking animal. That's all I got.
I'm changing up my filters right now. I'm a fucking talking animal right now. I'm a reindeer, bitch.
Yeah.
What now? What talking animals do you need now?
I think Mark Zuckerberg probably likes it because he can't see people rolling their eyes at him, like in the metaverse. Whereas
if it
on
gets
Zoom,
good enough, you better be able to.
Right.
Like, just be like, ugh. The only way I could see it is if, like, it's so, it's like, I'm talking like the Matrix type shit for me to be like, oh, I see. That's how we use it. Like the shark mouth. Was that a fin on
this
your head?
Is, yeah, I have
a shark
fin
coming out of your mouth.
But it's
coming
like
out
a full shark face coming out of just my mouth. Like the nose and the eyes are also like this
part
one.
Of it.
Okay, on this one, the metaverse might be ahead on the shark on the shark filter.
You look like one. Bane at a children's Christmas or a children's birthday party. The
right.
shark
I
one.
Was, I was born in the darkness.
I was born in the darkness. Like, look at my fun mask.
I was born as baby shark, molded by mama shark.
Do, 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 do. Okay.
Amazing. Okay.
Paulie has been showing off the fact that Zoom can totally do animal faces. And
okay, don't tell people because my metaverse stock just took a dump.
I had a feeling that this kind of came out of nowhere. Like, you... The article that you're linking off to is just it's a blogger page.
This is so funny to me because
and the byline is Miles Gray.
No, it's Giles Ray.
Giles Ray.
Oh, I assume that was a typo. That's not even.
This is
a
so
name
funny to me because like we're onto the metaverse and somewhere people at Skype are like, "We'll make a comeback."
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's brains just churning 40 hours a week trying to come up with, like, so much of America right now is people spending tons and tons of human capital on terrible fucking ideas that are never gonna get off the ground. I guess that's always been like capitalism, but that's definitely happening at Skype, and I still use Skype every once in a while. So
yeah,
wait, for what, like, is it for like fun
to have a conversation with a older therapist.
Relative, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's also like certain like tutoring organizations and stuff that require Skype. Like some places do require Skype or like other weird web-based video conferencing apps, which is strange.
Yeah. See, they still got a little bit of foothold.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about other stuff.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back. And I know you're back too because of that killer tease up top when I said, that's right, other stuff.
He stuck through it.
Uncle Vanya's is trending.
This ain't the trending episode.
Whatever, man. I got a lot of tables. Uncle Vanya's is the new
trending
knockoff McDonald's in Russia.
Yeah.
Which I kind of love this for the world, a world where there's just like a shadow bizarro capitalism universe that's happening in a different country. And they're just like, the fuck, you're going to give us more sanctions?
Right. What haunted doll creature does their version of the Grimace look like? Like what?
Yeah. Oh my God.
What does their Ronald McDonald look like? I'm right. Like, what if they just look like normal people? The bizarro right. version. It's just like,
it's like, hi, I'm Grimace. It's like, hi. It's a really pleasant looking young lady. Just like, her name's Grimace. That's it. There's nothing really strange about her other than that. But yeah, in Russia, right? Like, so since a lot of Western companies have been like ceasing or halting business there, McDonald's being one of those, you know, we've seen there's been clips of like Russian people scrambling to get like in one last order before like the McDonald's closed. There's one guy who chained himself to the doors of a McDonald's, like saying like to make like it's not fair to cut someone's like hamburger access off. And it's like unjust. And, you know, clearly McDonald's has a hold on people no matter where you go. It's just it is fucking what it is. And when the restaurants opened 32 years ago, people were losing it. And you can just tell that like McDonald's has just always had this place, especially for countries that have not been completely smashed by capitalism, or there was a little push pull between the two, that people like always look at McDonald's as like sort of this like lifestyle thing or this place that you want to go to. And the Russian parliament like seems to understand that this is a need for the people to have some sense of normalcy, which is why they decided to do something about it. They've, you know, in Moscow have decided to have like they would fund to the tune of like millions of like dollars, I believe, but whatever the equivalent is in rubles, like of a new Russian fast food chain called Uncle Vanya's, which is just a crudely converted McDonald's M, like their logo is just a crudely converted McDonald's logo to look like Cyrillic or B, which is really a V sound in Russian. So that's their way to get around this.
Yeah, they just tip that shit over on its side and put a little line on the bottom. It looks like if you did the least amount of work possible to convert the McDonald's M into a B.
Yo, are their ice cream machines also not going to work? Is that part
There's
of it?
Actually work, shockingly. There's work. This is the only place where they work.
Wow. Yeah.
Everything where we went wrong, we're righting the wrongs. But
actually, like I will say, based on what we know about the McDonald's ice cream machine story, they would be more likely to work because they would be allowed to use the company that figured out how to fix it.
Who's
now
one.
Suing McDonald's for like $5 billion because McDonald's like shut them down because I don't know.
Hey, 900 million, Jack.
Oh, my bad.
Okay. You know, they're not greedy. But the, you know, the Russian government has been discussing like seizing foreign assets within the country ever since their invasion began. And they, you know, there was also like they're also potentially having a law like that would sanction this to make it just pretty easy to just say, oh, yeah, you know that old McDonald's? I just blasted the old logo off and put my own up there. And it's called what, you know, whatever the fuck I want to call it. Their trademark office in Russia has already gotten like all kinds of applications for other businesses that use like some form of the McDonald's logo or the name. And because they're like, man, we don't recognize these trademarks as being valid, they're being granted. Now, what happens? Who knows? Because, you know, obviously the good capitalists of the West have threatened more sanctions if you start seizing the businesses. But like you said, I think their biggest problems aren't going to be, you know, administrative. Like, where are you going to source all that natural, quote unquote, beef and pink goo that you need for chicken nuggets? That's where I think consumers will probably notice the difference.
Mm. In like the actual product.
Yeah.
It's are you saying though, the ripoff product is not going to have the same quality as the actual product? Is that what you're saying?
I have a feeling, or it's like better. And people are like, boo. People are like, real
this
beef
is actually healthier for you.
Yeah. It could go either way.
This reminds me of the history of Fanta. If you ever have an opportunity to read the history of Fanta, which I'm saying it like this to make it sound like I read a book. It's actually just the Wikipedia page of Fanta. But basically, Fanta was a product that the Coca-Cola company within Germany that got like cut off during World War II for being Nazis. And, you know, they were like, well, we don't need your bullshit Coca-Cola because we have this Fanta. And it was this like fruit flavored soda that like the idea was the same idea as today, but because Nazi Germany was kind of strapped with all the stuff they had going on there,
there was like just what a like great rephrasing of the Holocaust.
Well, among many other just horrifying things that they had going on.
Yeah.
But the product,
hey, we got a lot going on in here in the Third Reich, man. Why don't you give us a break?
The product was just horrible. I think they like said there was like glass in it. Like there.
Oh my god.
Yeah, there's like bad chemicals in this shit.
Bad vibes. Glass. Bad vibes.
And yet it lasted to this day somehow. So think about that the next time you drink.
Don't you wanna?
Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe I don't wanna Fanta.
I do. It's just interesting to see like how like consumer culture infects and becomes even a thing that like this government is now being like, fuck, man, people are in a pattern of consuming in a certain way. And like we kind of need like we need that as part of the stability model, which we already see here in this country with, you know, our bread and circuses show that continues without abating. But yeah, it's just kind of wild to see this sort of evolution of McDonald's being a thing that couldn't be in the Soviet Union, then shows up. It's a huge thing when it leaves. Now it's like it's just, you know,
or like the fact that that guy like tied himself or like locked himself, chained himself to a McDonald's. Like that's a wild like that's like a right that they're fighting for. You know, not like a right, but like, you know, something that they're fighting for. That's like wild to conceive of.
Right, because imagine if you were, I mean, I know there are people who eat fast food every single day, and some people eat the same thing at the same fast food restaurant every day. It's not the healthiest shit, but like that would, I can imagine for that person what would happen if you're like, yeah, that place won't exist anymore here.
Yeah
Anyway,
look, there are a lot of reasons you might find yourself chained to a McDonald's. I'm not asking questions.
Yeah.
No big deal. It's happened to a lot of
people. When are the ice cream machines going to work? It's me exactly. Screaming outside of Burger King now.
So big news in the world of box office, Boffo B.O.
Okay.
The Batman is now the highest grossing serial killer movie ever, or will be after this weekend.
Wow. Spoiler.
Damn, Batman's a serial killer?
Yeah, dog. Fuck. I know. It's like
he's
what?
At least a serial puncher, you know?
Yeah.
He's got some issues. Okay.
Wait, so when you say it's a serial like who are you just saying you're making that distinction or they're
No, people? That's the distinction made by box office expert Scott Mendelson.
Okay.
Interesting.
Who I do like as a writer.
Okay, Scott.
Go off, Scott.
But yeah, I mean I had kind of gathered that from everybody comparing the movie and the Riddler to like Zodiac and,
Yeah.
Sorry, you said Ted Cruz. Is that what you said?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. To Ted Cruz and the movie Seven, also based on the works of Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz's seventh birthday.
But yeah, I guess the Riddler is sort of inspired by the killers from those movies. He's got a little bit of a serial killer vibe. And that like definitely seems to be the color palette they're working with, and right. Just based on the trailers. So Mendelsohn was just making the point that, like, you know, these, like, if you actually take into account that these superhero movies are sampling these genres, then, like, the highest grossing World War One movie ever is Wonder Woman. The highest grossing, like, gritty 70s adult drama is The Joker. The highest grossing conspiracy political thrillers, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and the highest grossing high school movie is the first Spider-Man, the first Tom Holland Spider-Man.
Right.
So they can't just like label these as superhero movies. Superhero movies need to be other movies now, because it's like there's so many of them.
I think there's also like those are also a good sampling of like some of the more successful superhero movies of the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Right. 3 days.
Yeah, I think those all came out in the last.
Those all came out in the.
But I think that is like the new playbook is you know, just go and take all of the moves from like this entire genre of movies that like existed and, you know, made a bunch of really good movies. You just like pull the highlights from that, put it in your movie, and it's not a thing, you know, film reviewers might be like, ah, that like a lot of, you know, moves borrowed from Seven and Zodiac, but like the majority of the audience is going to be like, whoa, that is the most original thing I've ever seen in my life, because it's a PG-13 movie pulling moves from like R-rated movies that came out 15 years ago.
Did you know they're right. doing a new Suicide Squad that's very Eat, Pray, Love? Did you guys know? They're just all that. Like trying to find themselves in Italy.
Vicky like, Cristina wherever. Barcelona, but yes, with some of the Suicide characters.
The second Tom Holland Spider-Man is...
Paul Giamatti's in it.
Is the highest praying Eat, Pray, Love inspired film, I believe.
Oh, yeah,
that's
true.
It does take place in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Sampling the sites.
I don't know. Like, I'm not here to say, like, this is a problem. Like, our culture's fucked.
No, that's inevitable.
Yeah, it's kind of the natural evolution. Like, superheroes are definitely, like, our national, like, Greek myths, you know, whatever. Like, it's represents a bunch of stuff about America and, like, how Americans want to view themselves. And, like, I feel like that will be a lasting legacy from the period of time that we're all living through, is like, and these people were really into these fucking people who had capes on for some reason and
right.
like weird masks, and one was called Superman.
I told a New Zealand guy about how I loved like Batman and superhero stuff, and he was like, yeah, that's very American. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa.
Why does that feel like an insult?
Yeah.
And it was.
That always feels like an insult, though. It's like, it's the
anytime,
same, like,
yeah.
Yeah, any family from outside the U.S., like, that's so American. Like, so hey, American. Yeah, okay, maybe you're
okay,
right.
Okay, ouch. Wow. It's like when white people get called white and they get really upset about it. They're like, whoa, why are you using this slur against me? Don't call me American.
And I'm like, yeah, you're right. X-Men is my, I like the guy with the metal fingernails. He's my favorite.
I fucking hate the military-industrial complex, but love the propaganda that upholds it. I can't help it.
But at least I know it's propaganda, so that's how I know it's really not working on me. Aha!
Take my money.
Give me my McDonald's and thumbs up. But yeah, there is like this, you know, I don't know how you could have a problem with it. Like, all art just iterates on itself. Like, there's no artist who says, I was not inspired by anything else. I grew up in a vacuum devoid of anything that would have informed my taste, and I just started making things. I mean, there are some people who, you know, maybe in remote places who do that, but every single person is always, you know, everything's being informed by a previous thing.
That's a very Batman take. It's like, I grew up in a vacuum devoid of anything.
Right.
And I just started creating. Very Batman.
I was already being Batman.
I was actually raised in the darkness. So,
yeah, I was raised in the darkness. About me. molded by it, actually. Just like this sculpture.
They're like, that looks like the statue of David.
But just with a huge dick this time.
Huge downstairs.
Because I'm like a fan of movies more so than like TV. Like I think what's happening is like the stuff that's like more straightforward, like genre stuff is being turned into like series on like streaming.
Yeah.
And then movies have to be these like big plays at like massive audiences. And so I do think it's not great that like the sex and the consequences of the violence are removed from all of these genre exercises. Like, I like a World War One movie with fucking, you know, like just people. No, I'm just sure.
I was like, Jack. Oh, my.
But yeah, I just feel like a lot of the humanity gets shaved off when you turn it into a massive blockbuster.
Yeah. So it's like you're marrying these two different subjects, but one of them very much happened and the other one is like our fantasy of what could have been or something.
Yeah,
that could,
yeah.
That could like wash over what happened in history.
Yeah. But, you know, there's still great shit being made everywhere and in other countries. And so.
Yeah, like Uncle Vanya's. We know that there's great shit being made.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Where's that, what was that movie with, was there one where Michael Keaton is playing like the head of McDonald's?
Yeah,
whoa, he's played Batman, Beetlejuice, and the head of McDonald's. What can't this man do? I fucking
and
love
Uncle
Michael
Vanya.
Keaton.
Yeah,
I love
we need
Michael
that Uncle
Keaton.
Vanya drama pick. Good man.
Yeah.
I think. Who knows?
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, seems like a good enough guy. Pallavi, it's been such a pleasure, as always, having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
I'm at Pallavi Ganalan, PallaviGunalan, everywhere. I'm most active on like Twitter and Instagram, but I'm also on like TikTok and I was on Clubhouse. I don't know if I'm still there, but I'm like, am I?
Oh yeah. What happened to Clubhouse? Is Clubhouse
it's
still
going? There was definitely like a community that was, but I don't know how popular it is right now, but there's still people on there. I still have like my Clubhouse friends, you know? They're hanging out, and maybe with this next wave, we'll all reunite again.
We'll be back there.
But yeah. You can find me everywhere there. I'm also, I co-produce Funnelingus, and that's going to be back April 10th at Hotel Cafe at 8 p.m. It's super fun. It's all female and non-binary comics, and it's a dope show every time. It's amazing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Okay. I want to hype up two of my friends, but they're fucking amazing. Vinny Thomas and Dylan Adler. I love them so much. They're such sweethearts. And they're also like, they make the funniest, great tweets. Vinny's Twitter is like so many animal facts turned into jokes. I'm like, I didn't even know people knew this about animals. it's so funny and like unique and very silly. And he makes like these really funny videos of like him and like, it was, I think he did one about like the Capitol, the insurrection, but it's about like the guy in charge of uniforms or whatever. So he does like all these really funny videos. And then Dylan Adler, which is at Dylan ADLER6. That's his Twitter. He's been doing a lot of funny videos. He does Lin-Manuel Miranda impressions. And he just had one video of like a quick change backstage. It got like over 300,000 likes, like not even views, likes.
Okay.
And it was like him taking like way too long to get ready. And it's just like, he's just so fucking funny, but he's incredible. He's so funny. And everybody should go follow those two people.
Nice.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Just seeing the video of him.
Yeah, it's like people taking way too long. It's like a minute of quick change. It's like, and then people were like, people underneath all these like music theater people were like, is this a joke? And it's like, yes,
right.
It's a joke.
It looks so real. Yeah, he's putting on 7 sweaters and someone gave him go.
And someone's doing makeup on like the back of his neck, like, like with a brush. So stupid.
Good physical
comedy.
So
dumb.
Great physical comedy. You can find me Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, and also the other pod, 420 Day Fiance, and also basketball podcast coming soon. We'll probably tease that out beginning of next week. Jack and You're doing a little basketball podcast. Cause
what?
We like it.
Oh, my God. Oh, that sounds
really
good.
The ink has dried.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, it's gonna be sick.
Real laid back. Real laid back.
I love those guys.
It's like Daily Zeitgeist and with the NBA. With basketball.
If you could pick five people to be on your basketball podcast.
You.
Me. Okay. The three of us and then two more
three
people.
Of us.
We got to get like Jamie Loftus, maybe.
Jamie Loftus, very, known basketball freak.
Very tall.
Yeah.
Jamie, you're
to start
tall.
A team? Oh, okay. Well, this is actually play?
No. This is still for the podcast, but I'm being ridiculous.
So and let's see. Dana Donnelly.
Dana Donnelly, my co-host for Funnelingus. I love Dana. Yeah. Amazing.
There you go. Another great basketball legend, Dana Donnelly. We all know.
Yeah. Come on. Y'all don't know, but she will dunk on you.
Oh, I've seen the footage. Straight windmillery happening. Okay, so a tweet that I like is going to be from Jurassic Park updates.
Oh my God.
Jurassic Park to go. This one says, sorry, we keep forgetting some of these fuckers can fly. So look out for that.
I saw that one today. I knew that was the one you're going to. I love
some of these
Jurassic
fuckers
Park.
Can fly.
I love Jurassic Park
just
updates. What an evergreen.
Forgetting some of these fuckers.
So
calling
funny.
A pterodactyl a fucker. Is this so funny? It's fuck. Oh,
fuckers can fly. I saw that one today. I was like losing my mind.
Amazing. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Boots with the fur tweeted, high key embarrassing to be caught inching at stoplight. You getting excited? And that is an embarrassing feeling. And then somebody asked if The Fugitive counts as a St. Paddy's Day movie. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Of course. What are you talking about? Anyways, you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Hello.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Let's go on a little some light R&B, something that'll make you feel like it's back in the old days of the late 90s and early aughts. When that new soul sound of R&B was tickling our eardrums. And this is from a local artist, LA's Jasmine Hill. And this track's called Bad News. And this is an artist I'm just like kind of randomly found on a recommended playlist. Doesn't have a lot of things out, but I like her voice is great. The production is like I said, it feels very like, you know, nostalgic, but still current. So all those things together should give you a nice Friday. Okay, so this is Jasmine Hill with Bad News.
All right. Well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.